Hello, everybody. Hi, I'm Stuart Gandoff. Welcome to SEO for the C-Suite and Other Executive Leadership. I'm going to be working today, and thank you, Natanya, for introducing us a moment ago, with Grant Simmons. So Grant, you can jump on the screen here. Today, we're going to talk about SEO again. And if you could switch to the next slide, Grant. So this webinar today is the second in a series of SEO webinars we'll be doing throughout the rest of this year and into the beginning of next year. So we'll be covering multiple webinars on SEO from varying points of view. It's a very rich topic. It's an important part of what we do for our clients. And Grant is such an educator. He wants to be sharing pieces of his enormous wealth of knowledge. And I, as many of you know, who've been following me for a while, SEO is one of my favorite areas of expertise. So last webinar we did was a few weeks ago. That was entitled Healthcare SEO, How to Win First Place on Google. And essentially, you can think of that as the SEO fundamentals or the SEO how does it work webinar. So we spent a lot of time there sharing how does SEO actually work? What does it take to rank? What are the key factors? Today, we're talking a little bit different perspective. We're going to be talking about SEO for the C-suite. And in other words, the questions, and Grant will be leading most of today. Last time was really interactive. Today, Grant will be taking the lead. It's more, why should we do SEO at all? Like, what does this even matter? So those kinds of questions. And so this meeting is designed for either the C-suite or people that need to convince the C-suite that SEO is a good idea. And, you know, usually it is a good idea, not always. So Grant will be sharing some of that today as well. So that's the purpose of today's presentation is all about why as opposed to the how. If you already have seen the other presentation, there'll be a tiny bit of duplication just to reiterate some important principles. If you're interested in mechanics, I urge you to watch the previous webinar as well. And stay tuned, there'll be more, if you're a subscriber, we'll be doing more SEO-based webinars and many others. Next webinar is coming up on August 3rd. There we'll be talking about how to create an exceptional healthcare brand. So we're pivoting away from SEO to talk about branding. That'll be another fantastic webinar. Very excited about that one. Later this year, we'll be covering paid social, paid search, multi-location marketing, many, many different topics. But these are just some of the ones that are most current. Next slide. Yeah. So Grant, you're going to lead today. And why don't you just take it from here and then we'll jump in.
Great. So hi, thank you everyone for tuning in. I hope we've got some entertaining and very valuable information today. You know, these are the questions that we plan on asking and answering. You know, what is SEO? It's just the fundamentals, as Stuart said, going over some of the elements that we talked about last week. What are the critical success factors, the best practices? You know, is there even an opportunity? You know, are people actually searching and clicking on the organic results? You know, what strategies should you adopt? The metrics that must be tracked to demonstrate success? You know, how long does it take to get results? That's a question we get asked a lot. And I know if you're an internal stakeholder, you probably get asked that a lot. You know, how long is this SEO going to take? You know, how much do you need to invest in SEO to actually make a difference? The common mistakes you need to avoid and building a team to make sure that you can execute on this. So introductions. Well, first off, in case you don't know, Stuart, just do an intro for yourself, please.
Hi, yeah, we jumped straight into it. I'm Stuart. I'm CEO of Healthcare Success. I've been doing marketing and healthcare for over two decades. Co-founder of Healthcare Success. Love what I do. Tons of speaking and writing on the topic as well. We built our own company through SEO and by educating. And so this is a long tradition that we are continuing. Grant?
Yeah. And I've got over 25 years experience in SEO. Yet, right before Google actually exists, I was doing this. I actually had hair when I was doing that. I've been very lucky to speak around the world on SEO topics, content marketing. It's brilliant. I'm passionate about this. I've worked in a lot of different healthcare spaces. I love to share. I love to teach. And so any questions after this, please reach out to me and I'll hope to answer them for you.
By the way, just another housekeeping deal to tell, Healthcare Success, in case you don't know it, We've been one of the leaders in healthcare marketing. We've been doing this again for this. The company itself has been around for 17 years. We are truly an integrated agency, meaning that, and this is really unique. There are companies that are really more sort of digital marketing focused, paid search and SEO. There are branding companies. There are a lot of agencies that say they're integrated, but most of those are really focused on either digital or branding. We are unique in that we do both, as well as strategy, patient experience, physician referral building, lots of different things. So you can take a look at us if you don't know us already. One other final bit of housekeeping before we dive straight into the content. This webinar will be recorded. So if you're registered, you'll see this afterwards. If you're watching this on the replay, obviously you're seeing the recording, as well as we will have a Q&A section at the end. So stay tuned for that as well. Grant, go ahead.
Right. Super. So the answers to the questions that we posed, I know this is kind of fundamental, but it felt kind of like half a webinar if we didn't actually explain what SEO is. At the very highest level, it's about earning traffic from organic or natural search results within Google SERP. We say Google, and it's mostly Google, because Google is obviously the lion's share around the world, around the country. So round about 88 to 95, it varies obviously based on the month, of traffic, search traffic comes from Google. Now, these might change based on where you're located, where multi-location, sometimes abroad or other things, there's different variations, but Google's the main focus of what we do. And their SERP is quite unique. A list of blue links was the original SERP. Now there's a lot richer areas within there, like local results. We're focusing today on this kind of middle section, the natural or organic search results. This is what it looks like on mobile. Once again, a little bit more compact, what the Google calls cards. And we just want to make sure that when we're optimizing for search, this is where we're going to show up. This is where we're going to get our traffic from. And it does make a difference where you appear in the search results. So on the left-hand side is position one. You can see a massive spike as far as clicks. As you go down to position 20, you're getting very few from a percentage of clicks. So the higher up you show up is better, obviously. But we want to make sure that when we're optimizing, there's a stage. We're not always going to show up straight away number one. There's a progression to SEO that you start off, not showing up at all. Then maybe in position 30, 20, 10, and then into the top five or top 10 positions. So this is really, once again, the nuts and bolts of what SEO is. Optimizing your websites that Google understands your content provides the most relevant resource for users to get their questions answered. So I've said many years ago, actually, Google, we look at it as a search engine. It's really an answer engine. So you put normally your problem, your issue, your need as far as information into Google, and they're going to give you the best answers that they think are back. And the best answers for them are ones that are very logically presented in an experience that's satisfying. And that's the most important thing. When people get to your website, that's one thing. But once they're there, they've got to have a great experience. And Google's able to monitor and measure some of those on-site experiences as well. So what are the critical factors of SEO? You've probably seen this if you tuned in last week. This is the SEO periodic table. It really breaks down the different factors of SEO so you can better understand what it is. Now, you don't have to jump into all this. We provided a high-level thing here, which is really content, which is obviously on-page content. It's images. It's copy. It's everything else like that and how it's formatted. Architecture, really looking at how the site's structured. HTML, what's on page. Reputation is around building expertise and authority on the web. Links, so inbound links to your site. User experience, as you mentioned, really important to Google. And toxins here are really stuff you do are pretty bad that Google has found out. Because, search engines have been around quite a while now, and Google really understands when people are trying to game the system. Now, they don't always understand right away, but ultimately, if you try something bad, you're going to see something bad happen eventually. So we try and avoid all these toxins. Now, within those elements, obviously, they don't always stay the same. These are some of the bigger changes, but since 2020, there's been over 30 updates, major updates, including core updates, link spam, helpful content, local search. There's actually, Google has mentioned within their Twitter account, that there are hundreds of changes that happen, hundreds of tests that happen every day. So sometimes you can look at a search result in the morning and it might be a little bit different in the afternoon. It's because Google is testing. Now, they don't test every single search result for every single person. They're generally doing split tests where we're basically trying a little test with someone. If that group they see clicks more or is better experienced, better satisfying, then they'll roll it out to more of the general audience. So lots of updates happening. So what do we do about that? Look, this is a question we hear a lot, which is my agency says we're hitting a recent Google update. That's why we lost traffic. Now, that's a very easy answer to give. We lost traffic because of Google update. But the thing is, if you're doing it right, these updates don't affect you. Now, in an update, one site wins, one site loses, because there's only so many results in the search results. So we have to make sure that we follow the best practices, and that's our best defense against any kind of Google update. Now, Google publishes their best practices within their search blog. They give an idea of what you should be doing. Obviously, as SEOs, our goal is not just to follow those tactics that are given, but to look at overall strategy of what's going to work best for you in your particular competitive environment. So a lot of the SEO effort is around looking at that competition. You know, what are competitors doing well? What is being rewarded by Google? What is the gaps in your content that you might have? What are you missing? What's the site performance? So in a zero-sum game, sometimes if all content remains equal, maybe it's the site experience that differentiates your site or the site that's in number one from your site in position two. And then the opportunity analysis, a big thing. How can you beat your competition? Because like we said, you can't just copy it and expect to be number one. There's lots of different factors that contribute to why one site is number one and one site's number two. From my perspective and based on my experience, the big differentiators are coverage of content and quality of content. So making sure that you cover a topic completely. And the second thing is content availability and delivery, that real site experience of how people are experiencing your site. The goal is to have the most satisfying experience for users and for Google. Now, we just talked about best practices there. We've gone through quite a lot so far, those fundamentals. I'm going to get into some examples as well when we look at these best practices. So research is really important, as we said, to get an idea of the competition, to make sure we're better. Elevating the most important content and removing or hiding the low value content. Once again, you want to make sure you're showing really good stuff to Google, the best stuff that's likely to satisfy users. And some of that sometimes is keeping it fresh. If there's an updated procedure or an updated treatment, you want to make sure that that's reflected in your content. Now, why is this really important for medical organizations? It's important because there's a different level of optimization, a different level of quality that Google expects from health, wealth, and happiness. All right, that's your money or your life type queries. And that's reflected in their mini algorithms that look at experience. So has the person actually done this? Are they experienced in it? Their expertise, are they a recognized expert in this? This could be recognized expert locally, in particular vertical, in particular procedure, it could be anything. An authority, are they trusted by other folks? Are they recommended frequently? And is there a trust factor? Trust factor often comes from reviews, often comes from links from trustworthy resources, but really that EEAT, you might hear of it when people say, yeah, we need to improve our EAT. What they're talking about is experience, expertise, authority, and trust.
So actually, back up on that for a second, Grant.
Sure.
I would like to make a commentary. So in the old days, we've been doing this for a long time at Healthcare Success. When we started the issues I want to refer to is elevate the most important content and remove or hide the low value. Today, most of the clients or most of the businesses out there that are of any size at all have hundreds or thousands or sometimes hundreds of thousands or more pages on their website. So many times, most people confuse SEO and think it's only the technical stuff. They hear about our programmer handles all that. And that's such a misunderstanding. Oftentimes when we take an existing client where it's in a competitive niche, our first focus is, what do we do with all this content? How do we curate this? How do we show Google what's important? How do we leverage what you already have? Because that's where the real juice is. And how do we make sure that we have good content? How do we make sure we have authority? So just, big aha moment for a lot of people. When we put it this way, it's the content, you know, like you said, it's the economy stupid, it's the content stupid, right? The content really matters. And this is the leverage point that we have to really take into account. So all the technical stuff we're going to talk about later is very important. But at the end of the day, Google, you know, the technical stuff is helping Google see it more easily, but the content is at the core of this. Anyway. So.
That's really good. I love that. You know, it's the content stupid. You know, I often say, you know, it's the user stupid, not the stupid user. So, you
know. Good, same part there.
No problem. We're creating this content for users primarily and search engines secondary. So, and when we talk about content coverage and quality, so exactly the point is we often find when we get to a site that there isn't that deep research being done. It's just touching the very top level. And the experience side of it, when you have, you know, doctors, patients, medical knowledge on the topic, that really does play in very well to Google's algorithms. So we want to make sure that experience quotient is really, really kind of highlighted on the website. And we talked about very briefly the money of your life, because medical content has to be correct, has to be professionally written, has to have a very high trust factor to it. We want to make sure that we do it. And just so you know, yeah, we have in-house content writers with deep experience in health topics. We often interview the doctors and patients within our client sites just to make sure that we have a good insight into actually what's happening within the practice, within the particular procedure and things like this. So that being said, this is an example from a fibroid site. Yeah, in this particular page, it's going to have a complete coverage of what elements make up the perfect fibroids page. Now, on any topic, any medical topic, you want to make sure there's actually deep research done and you're not just scratching the surface. And research means looking at data points, looking at what images should be in there, looking at what other illustrations or video or anything else should be in that page to make it the most satisfying experience, the most complete answer for that particular topic. So another thing that we get asked about best practices, internal linking. So the question we had actually from a client last year, I read online, I should link back to our homepage from every page using the most important keyword as anchor text. Anchor text is that clickable element that you see from an internal link. Well, links, I said before, it's about the user stupid. Links are for users first. The anchor text should describe what users would like to find. A link to the homepage would like to say home. So as soon as you pass over to this idea of making something specifically for a search engine without thinking about the user, that's when you start to pass into that toxins area of the periodic table for SEO. As soon as you start to move into that, we're going to do this primary for search engines, we don't really care about users, that's when you start having problems. Internal linking is one of those factors. So we talk about internal linking, we talk about content availability and delivery, we talk about experience overall. We want to make sure we organize our content logically. You saw on that fibroids page, they had an internal navigation kind of a key to what's on the page. That's made for humans, so you can easily click and go through a certain section of the page. That also helps search engines because they can more easily find what's on the page. So we want to make sure that that's important, but links users first. Simple URLs, easy for humans and machines to understand. Make sure the user experience is least imperfect. I say that because sometimes the juice is not worth the squeeze for that last 1%. SEO is an incremental discipline. But we want to make sure we get least imperfect. We don't focus on small things that aren't going to make that much of a difference. Speed is major. Schema markup is this technical stuff so Google can understand but it's on the page. And obviously, we want to make sure we serve and collect information securely, not just over secure connection, HTTPS, but also make sure we're HIPAA compliant. Really key, once again, very specialized in the medical field. These are some examples here of availability and delivery. So the competitive analysis to identify gaps and peer reviews, that's really important. So you can see on the right-hand side, well-organized hierarchy of navigation that covers the main topics that users would want to find and also makes it very easy for search engines to find. Keeping the URL simple. So we can see here, this is quite a complex URL as far as lots of different categories, lots of different forward slashes. For a user at first glance, what is it exactly about? Consulting or executive search? So we want to make sure we keep the user, that the URL structure as simple as possible. Now, when you're a leader within an organization and someone comes and says, we're going to change our URL structure, the first thing you got to think about is when you change your URL structure, that has the potential to confuse users and search engines. Users, if they've bookmarked that particular URL, and search engines, because they have bookmarked an index URL, they will keep coming back to that URL. So you've got to be really careful if someone comes to you and recommends changing the website structure, that you think about what that means from a standpoint of short-term hits, mid-term hits, and long-term hits. Sometimes you just want to change a couple of pages. You don't want to change the whole site, but you want to be really careful when you do that. Next, we've got another example of a great menu structure where you're talking about substance abuse, mental health abuse, and that breaks down to the different substance abuse disorders. So I think it's really important there to think about top navigation is really key, but having in-page navigation is also really important so that search engines can find stuff, users can easily navigate to things. The last thing here is making sure your site is performing fast. It's really important from a search experience standpoint to make sure your site is fast. From a user experience, it's even more important. These are some metrics. So this is published actually from Google. They have a great resource, they think like Google. They've given this information, which basically says the slower a page loads, the more likely someone is just to leave your site. So here, 1 to 3 seconds, probability 32%. That goes all the way up to 123% when it goes closer to 10 seconds. So think about that. Now, we talked about also the zero-sum game. To lose, someone else has got to win. Sometimes a tie break might be the speed of your site. So it might be that for users where they give up on your site and they go to someone and they experience it faster or not. So on the right-hand side, I've got some benchmarks around different industries. Healthcare, as you can see there, the average healthcare site is loading in about five and a half seconds. So it's important to know that if you want to be better from the speed, take that off the list of things you have to fix. If you're below 5 seconds, you're probably pretty good in the healthcare space. That doesn't say you shouldn't try and make it faster, but at some point we get to that same idea of the last 20% might not be worth the squeeze. So think about this from a healthcare standpoint. Your site should load 5 seconds or less. The faster it is, the more likely people are to keep exploring your site. All right. What are the common SEO mistakes we need to avoid? Now, Stuart already mentioned one where we see content is buried. But you know, what I see most is our clients or prospects, or when we do our competitive analysis, we test on mobile devices. And the biggest issue we see is things that clickable, I don't know if you see my hand, click elements are too close together, Google tells us. What that means is if you have a fat finger, you're going to push two things rather than one. That's often one of the biggest problems we see in the mobile experience. Small fonts, so people can't read it, especially if you're targeting an older audience. You make sure your site has font sizes that make sense to your audience. Once again, always think about users. Big images. Now, we're not saying big images are great. Big images can cause your site to slow down, to cause the load to slow down. It also can push valuable content away from the user's purview. So they get to a site, they see this beautiful big picture. They don't know anything else is on the page. They have to scroll to find it. Sometimes there's also the scroll issues where someone is scrolling, it keeps going, or it's really sticky when you scroll. You want to make sure this experience is really great. And Google is looking at this. So once again, I always recommend CEOs, VPs, leadership within an organization, eat your own dog food. And that basically means use your own site on a mobile device and think about from a user perspective what you'd expect to find and how easy the process is. This is something else that for any marketers that are on this call, thank you for being here. Marketing's a great profession. Seth Godin is probably someone you know well. He's been in the business a long time. talking about usability and users. And so he wrote a great book. It has to be 15 years ago now, The Big Red Fez, where he talks about when someone gets to your website, can they find the banana? Just as the monkey wandered into a room, the main thing he's looking for is a banana. So a user is going to get to your site with an expectation of what they expect to find. And is it easy for them to find it? So we've talked about site speed as being a challenge when you go to a page and people might leave. But it's also around that navigation elements. What's most important on the page visually? Is there a link so someone can easily find what they need to find? So we want to make sure, and you should make sure, once again, by eating your own dog food, that the site experience and the engagement is really good. So that it's too easy to find the banana.
Yeah, so, a classic of the book in the early days of the internet was called Don't Make Me Think. Same concept, don't make me think. And so yes. Users today do not want to think. They want it to be intuitive, fast, easy, and they have insanely small levels of patience. People bounce more likely than not when they come to a site. So it's very, very important to make everything as easy to find as possible for humans and then Google as well.
I'm reaching back. Was it Dan Krug that wrote that book? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's one of the classics, right? I have it.
It is with the Eisenberg brothers. Yeah, right. When they talk about usability.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the other things that we often say, you know, someone come to us and we'll look and we'll see that they have very similar content across one or multiple sites they might own. So sometimes it's okay to have the same content on sites. Or sometimes there is, it's terrible to have the same content on the sites. Well, the bottom line is you want to rank. So if you want to rank in position one, as we see that gets the most traffic, you know, your content has to be unique. So if you have exactly the same content in various parts of your site, various areas of your site, even if it's the main boilerplate that is the majority of content on a page, you want to make sure you get that fixed. So I generally look at something like this. So this is a particular client. I know Stuart worked with these folks where they had lots of different sites that basically had all the same content they were syndicating their blog content to. There's ways around fixing this. So it's you know, there's one site that's primarily the major site there. And you can see what Google's John Mueller. So Google has these various public relations folks, for want of a better word, evangelists. And John Mueller is one of them. So he says, if you have the same content on multiple pages, then we won't show all these pages. We try and pick one of them and show that. So sometimes it's not valuable to have the same content across the site. But as he goes on to say, he does recognize there's going to be some similar content on some pages. I would just say, when you're looking at a page, make sure that the boilerplate or the similar content is the minority of the content on the page. Much more important to have valuable content that's unique and differentiated. Another issue we see a lot, and once again, as a stakeholder within your actual company, what you want to make sure is you're going through the site and seeing if there's any 404 pages. So any pages not found. You're clicking on links and you go through and you basically say page not found. I was just doing a live analysis for a prospect. And as I'm going through there, four or five of the clicks that I made within the site show me a 404 page, a page not found. Now, why is that? Probably someone's removed the content and hasn't told search engines or users where to go next. Sometimes, you know, a page, the URL has changed. As we said before, if you change URLs, you've got to make sure that search engines can still find the original content. And essentially, this is just a really bad user experience. We want to make sure your stakeholders, everyone else is looking at the site and making sure nothing is broken within it, bad user experience. We also, so Stuart alluded to this, that a lot of people think SEO is just about the technical. Now, technical is important. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of the price of entry. You want to make sure your site is very performant, fast, easy to navigate, easy for search engine to crawl. But this is one of the examples we often see about hiding valuable content. So the chart on the left, the numbers on the bottom shows the number of clicks it takes to get to that web page from the homepage. That's important. Google has said, John Mueller, in fact, said, most important pages should be just a few clicks from your homepage, and links potentially should appear on your homepage for the most important pages. So think about that. Orphan pages are pages that don't have any links to them, but can be discovered by search engines. Sometimes they're discovered by links coming in. Sometimes they're discovered in what we call an XML sitemap, which lists out all the pages within the site. But this is essentially a terrible experience when people can't find the content they want. And once they get to a page from a search engine, there's no way to understand how that fits into the overall site. So homepage should link to important pages. Important pages of business should not be blog posts. Ideally, they should be really important service pages, treatment pages, location pages. These are things that are really important. So once again, you eat your own dog food. Look at your site through this lens of users first. Can they find what they're looking for? Can they find the banana? So big question we ask around the viability and feasibility of SEO is, are prospective customers and patients actually searching online for healthcare solutions? Now, first off, when you look at that search results, when we showed the search results originally, the organic results still get about 80% of the clicks within the web page. So in the Google search, there's paid search results, there's local results, there's other elements in that search results as well. But still about 80% of the clicks go to organic results. Why is that important? Because Google has a health boss, of course. Now, it's from a couple of years ago, but David Feinberg said 7% of Google's daily searches were health-related. That's 70,000 a minute. So when people ask me, is there search volume? Should I actually do SEO? Are people searching for my product, service, or treatment? I say a resounding yes. Now, how does that break down? It breaks down by how people are searching. On the right-hand side is some data from Pew Research Center. So 66% who have looked online are looking for specific disease or medical problems. So of that 70,000 type queries, mostly 66% of those are probably looking for specific disease or medical problem. Now, I always say this to our clients as well. People search for their problem. You have to demonstrate that you understand that problem and you have a solution for it. So really important to understand that people don't necessarily search for your solution. They don't search for a certain laser treatment that they might never heard of, but they will search for spider bites. And so you want to make sure that you're ranking for both the problem and the solution. As you can see, it's the highest kind of search volume of health-related queries. And you can see all the way down this list, everyone's looking for everything from doctors or other health professionals, like a location or a specific clinic or specific doctor, all the way down to memory loss, dementia, Alzheimer's. So searching for problems for other people in their life or problems they might think they have. So these are really key components of what people are searching for. One of the big things that I wanted to highlight on this slide as well is near me queries. So this data is actually a couple of years old, but near me queries, those kind of things like nephrologist near me, or someone searching for a knee doctor near me, because people don't always use the right words, that's doubled since 2015. And this was in 2020. So since this data has been pulled, I would say that near me type queries are probably quadrupled since 2015. Not only that, in a recent prospect meeting we were having, we demonstrated that 80% of their queries were specific to near me. Now, they were very location specific, but that's really key because Google will localize a near me query. You don't have to put near me in Virginia Beach where I'm based. Google will know based on your actual device, the location device, what near me means to you. So, well, that was a bit confusing, but what near me means to you is different from what near me means to someone that's located across the city or across the country. All right, let's get into this. So when someone presents a certain SEO strategy to you, should you adopt it? Or what's the best strategy you should adopt for your business? Now, I just talked about locations. This is generally when we're working with multi-location practices, obviously this is really important to have a local strategy. A local strategy is all about building out really robust location pages, geo-modifying queries within your site specific to the location you might be in. Ensure the name and address and phone number are consistent across the web. This is called citations. There's a number of tools that make sure wherever you're mentioned on the web, that the name, the address, the phone number is consistent. And then the big thing for local business, Google Business Profile. This is a free page, quote unquote page, a free listing that Google gives you. You can see on the right hand side. It's quite robust. And there's elements that you can add that make it even more robust. Things like questions and answers, things like reviews, things like a description, things like a category. These are really important things that you can have control over for Google My Business or Google Business Profile. Essentially, you want to be your location expert with this kind of strategy, which means anytime someone types in a location and your particular expertise, you should show up. And anytime someone types in something where Google is geo-targeting that query, you should show up just for that expertise. Now, there's also a content-led strategy. And there's some big players in this space, like Mayo Clinic, like WebMD, that really just build up an encyclopedia of medical knowledge. Now, this is about being really broad around lots of different medical categories or in a single vertical, being really broad as far as digging in for that content. Now, it's great. It doesn't always tie into a typical revenue model. Sometimes this is purely for branding or authority building and things like that. But we look at this as being a particular strategy, though not probably on a national level, unless you're a national brand. And that's where, you know, this strategy can sometimes make sense to be an absolute authority across the topics when you're expert. As I say, go broad or go home. However, Google also loves niches. They love people that are specialized and focused on one thing really well. Now, in this particular instance, it's really good if you're doing a location strategy for a single location. It's really good if you want to do a very narrow vertical niche. As I said, you're going to be comprehensively covering just one specific treatment or comprehensively covering one specific symptom. That can work really well for that. You can then offer the solutions to it off of that. This is an example here. Dentist for seniors with a targeting of Tucson. There's 10 searches a month. So that search volume is 10 searches a month. That might not seem like a lot, but for some local practices, getting 10 additional clients, patients, prospects a month is quite valuable. And so from my perspective, I don't throw this out the window as saying, and this strategy is bad. Sometimes in this strategy covers a vertical as opposed to just location. In that sense, becoming an absolute niche expert can mean winning nationally as well as totally winning locally.
Can I jump in, Grant?
Oh, please do.
So absolutely. Sometimes we are looking at, for example, dentists for seniors. That may be a business that's focused on that's high value because seniors have bigger dental problems. So that's a strategic imperative for that business. We work with pharma companies who are going after HCPs or rare disease states. So that's a very different kind of search, but again, very small research volume, but you know, very high value. It could be doctors, it could be administrators from hospitals that are searching from a B2B standpoint or manufacturers. So all these principles apply. We're using some local providers as examples. But many times we're working with, you know, SaaS companies or telehealth companies or, you know, consulting companies or pharma device. The bigger point here is that there, and for like our own business, there are very key terms that we feel like are very important. There may be 10 or 30 searches, but we want to be there. And that's where the SEO strategy comes up is what's high value? Where can we compete? That's the strategy behind the SEO versus just trying to get rankings. Like, what are we ranking for? So I just wanted to say there's more to that discussion where we really want to do this very thoughtfully and carefully. And it's not just a question of getting numbers. It's what numbers do we want to own?
Right. Definitely around value. So this is one of the questions that we were asked by a customer, which is, I read online all we need are backlinks to win SEO. So backlinks are links into your site. They were the original main ranking factor for Google. You know, as far as the more links you got, the higher you ranked. Obviously, Google found out really quickly that search SEO folks can actually gain that quite easily by buying links. So that is much more depressed now as a ranking factor. So if someone comes to you and say, we need to buy links, you've got to be very strategic, because buying links can also hurt your website if they're the wrong links, low quality, low relevance, and things like that. So a link strategy, there are still cases where very competitive, very timely type things, it makes sense. In the medical space, not really. And we don't generally recommend a link-only strategy. So as we said, most of these strategies, so this is just a few of them. There's more, but this is the high level of locations, niche, broad, content-driven, link-driven. You know, every site is different and we look at every site differently. You know, but there are common issues and growth opportunities that generally most strategies come up with different elements from these different types of strategy. So it's always the million-dollar question, not literally, figuratively. How much do you need to invest? Yeah, it could be. Sometimes it could be literally. Sorry. How much do you need to invest in SEO? So if I had a dollar for every time I've heard something like this, I would be very rich. So there's lots of offshore companies offering SEO who will do it very cheaply. Now, I always say what's promised and what's delivered as far as value isn't always the same thing. So yes, SEO services can be quite expensive, especially from offshore companies, but more often than not, you don't have the same experience, expertise, understanding, accountability that you do from an onshore company that has great experience in the medical niche. So the healthcare expertise is really valuable. And you can see this is just some of the folks we've worked with. But the main thing I say to folks is, you've hired an offshore company and they've basically destroyed your SEO. You're not going to get it back just by changing a couple of things. It takes a long time sometimes to get your SEO back if you've done some bad things in Google's eyes and bad things in your user's eyes, so that you know you've lost your rankings or your rankings have dropped. You know, we look at this as a full discovery process is key to success. There's a very high level of expertise needed in multi-location, and the complexity and competitive nature of a main site can always make a difference. And you see here, I've given a number here, the number, you know, $5,000 a month. That's reasonable to expect for someone that isn't just a vendor. They're an actual partner. There's someone, to Stuart's point, that understands what your key metrics are, that understands what's important to your business, and goes beyond just the tactical of we're going to change a title tag here or anything else. They're actually understanding the full strategic goals of the business to generate revenue or visibility or other things that are important to the business. Now, the caveats are, of course, is competition, number of locations, complexity, and urgency can increase costs. And as I mentioned below, your money or your life, because medical is so important to Google to get right, anything here can basically mean if you don't do it right, Google will definitely penalize you by not showing your site in rankings. You don't want that to happen because getting it back is tough. And
add to that, the competition and the urgency are huge factors there. So depending on the niche, if you're in, you know, addiction and you want to be ranking nationally, bring your checkbook. It's going to be a whole lot more than that. Like, these numbers are determined by the marketplace. So it's not like we don't want to sell a bunch of SEO services. It's like what's required to get to the objective, just like anything else in business. So these are the kind of the entry point where true, you know, partnerships are available, but that doesn't mean that that applies for every case.
Thank you. All right. Well, what metrics can be tracked to demonstrate SEO success? So as a stakeholder in your company, obviously you need to know what's important to your business, and then you need to know what SEO can deliver. So more often than not, SEO is measured apples and oranges against paid search or billboards or other things like that. And the metrics are different because some things we can affect, and obviously a lot of things, we're dependent on Google understanding the value of the content you have or the content we produce, understand the value in the experience. So we can't control everything. So there are certain measures that we think are really important from a search standpoint to be measured against. And these are things that should be important to your business too. Conversions, Now, it's great to drive traffic, but if it's not converting traffic, is there real value there? Or there may be from an engagement standpoint. Are people requesting directions? You know, they're not converting exactly, but they're looking for directions. Or are they looking or submitting reviews or things like that? So sometimes if conversions aren't the ideal goal, then engagement can be. Traffic obviously is a big thing that we can look at, but the value of traffic is generally in what action the user takes next. Some folks, and to Stuart's point, they might just be looking for brand awareness or affinity with the brand. Sometimes pharma companies are doing websites just to introduce informational stuff to patients or prospects. So sometimes that's important to show up. Links, we mentioned in the link strategy, you know, some verticals, links are important. And so, you know, some metrics that can be measured against are the number of links you've generated through great quality content. And impressions really works back to the ladder of what we call lower value. You need to get impressions in the search results to be able to get clicks. But really, it comes down to the first thing is impressions is the first element. You're indexed, then Google will show you up in search results, earning impressions, and then your own clicks out of that. And then the last thing I say is lower value or lowest value is rankings. Rankings don't really mean anything. They are an ends to a means. You have to rank to be able to get a click to drive traffic to your site to get conversions. But it shouldn't be your main goal just to rank number one for a query. Like we said, no one searches for. Do we ever want to show up for a query that no one's searching for? So this is the question I was asked. You know, do we want to show up in Google for a search query that has zero search volume? And the answer is, if the CEO says it's important, yes. Sometimes that's a worthy goal or worthy metric that's worth showing. And that could be a vanity term specific to the company. Sometimes it's a tagline, things like that. So things can be important to a business that aren't necessarily important from a conversion standpoint or actually a monetary standpoint. So one of the last questions we're gonna ask and answer here is, you know, how long does SEO take to get results? You know, there's a lot of ways that I can answer this, but we just talked about the idea of indexation to ranking, to impressions, to clicks, to conversions. That's kind of the path. It's a marathon, not a sprint, which means it's not something that you turn on and turn off like paid search. It is a perfect long-term investment and a branding opportunity and really good for getting visibility or content you might push out by videos or white papers or things like that. And the last thing I always say is, you know, when we take on a client, we do our deep discovery. And during that discovery process, we'll find some low-hanging fruit, what we call it, which is a quick fix with low effort. So there are quick fixes, you know, but that doesn't mean it's a quick fix. So you still have to have Google recognize that change. You still have to have, you know, that re-index and everything else. So with these caveats, how long does it actually take? I'm trying not to skirt around the answer. And so I've deferred to Google. So John Mueller, again, from Google, did a really great video you can search for, how long does SEO take for new pages? So he says, when a new page is published, anywhere from several hours to several weeks for it to be indexed. So think about that. You've just published this brilliant piece of content and a tree falls in the forest. Is someone going to hear it? So you've published this brilliant content. You know, is anyone ever going to read it? Well, there are certain things that SEOs, experienced SEOs, can do to make it the process a bit quicker. You can't call Google up and say, I need you to show this piece up. But you can do special things like we talked about important links being on your homepage, making sure there's links to this content. We're going to make sure that the site is performant. So as we said, technical issues may prevent speed indexation. And it has to be valuable. It has to be unique. It has to be great. As we said before, if you publish duplicate content or content that's the same, it's liable not to rank. So really, it can be weeks or months or days. It can be hours. But generally, we say if you publish content, it's valuable, it's unique, it's performant as far as the site is great. You have the right internal link into it, so it's easy for Google to discover. Then it can take a week to 2 weeks generally to show up. Overall, rankings can take months because you have to make sure the platform is performant. You have to make sure the content is valuable. So inheriting a bad site can take a lot longer. But once the site is performant, introducing new content, should be a week to 2 weeks before it's ranking. And so how do you build an SEO team to get the results you want? Well, a little bit tongue in cheek here, because obviously you can choose health care success. But if you're looking and you're analyzing the ideal partner, you know, not vendor, but a partner to deal with, do they have experience in the medical vertical and specific to the medical specialty? Can they handle enterprise level assignments if you are multi-location or you're a large site, like a content-led site? You know, can you talk to the people actually doing the work? Well, I don't just give webinars. I actually dig into every single client every month to make sure we're delivering what we need to deliver and the opportunities are being captured. They have deep technical expertise. That's mainly to fix the site. And it's like anything. When you say about the plumber that charges you $250 for 5 minutes when they bang against the pipe, you know, it's essentially $5 for the minutes of banging. And it's $245 for the experience to know where to bang. So these are things, the same thing in SEO. Sometimes having the experience of knowing where to look first can help in making sure the process is speedier. So the other elements here help with programming, integrate with your technology stack. We talked about, does the price seem too good to be true? The difference between value and price. And what are other companies saying about them? So referrals, references, and things like that. And are they advocating the black hat, which is essentially those toxic tactics? Are they advocating for those? Because short-term, they can work. Long-term, it can destroy your business. And that is what I have. Stuart, maybe in a wrap-up, I want to thank everyone for being here. Brilliant.
Yeah, and I'll add a couple points to that. Also, that's not on the bullets there would be, do they show up in SEO themselves? It's fun. We get calls once in a while. People say, what do you know about SEO? It's like, well, how'd you find us? Oh, I guess I found you on Google. So, you know, having some credibility, it's like Grant was saying, eat your own dog food is a help. So at this point, we can take we have time for a couple questions. And I've got a thought starter, actually back up for a second here to the one before that. If you're interested in talking to us or our team, either Grant or one of the other people on our team, we can just essentially request a free SEO checkup where we can do some quick look at the website, quick discussion around your goals, quick talk around some of the issues we talked about today. So feel free to send us an email about that or give us a call if you're interested in that. Finally, on the last slide here for Q&A. I invite, if we have any questions, please let us know while we're waiting to see if anybody has some additional questions, Grant. What I'd like to talk about with you is, I think you and I can have a little fireside chat here about, you know, your experience with the C-suite. So the whole topic of this webinar today was about C-suite, and hopefully we've answered most of the questions. But if we were, you know, when we're talking to C-suite, as we often are, you know, what are some of the things that you find that C-suite is open or interested in today, perhaps more than in the past? Like, what are the really critical executive questions? You know, we talked about a lot, but to bring the user or the viewers today to a focal point, what kinds of things are likely to be really top of mind?
Yeah, well, I think most of the stuff we covered, most of the conversation around ROI, what do I need to invest and what am I likely to get back? I think some of the real timely topics around, I hear a lot about ChatGPT. can I leverage that to help me write content and things like that? You know, because obviously some of the largest challenges as the C-level is scale, profitability, you know, return on that investment, prioritization of people or prioritization of resources. I think those things are always top of mind. That hasn't changed since I spoke to my first CEO, which was in GE back in the day, probably 25 years ago. But those questions are still valid and relevant. The other thing is, and I don't want to be coarse, so I won't be, but you know, are my team telling me what I want to hear, or are my team telling me the truth? Now, we're not saying that in every organization that's necessarily true or false, but that's a question that a lot of C-suite ask, because they don't have the deep expertise in SEO to understand what is good, bad, and ugly. And so from our perspective, sometimes we can answer those questions really quickly, really well, so they can understand whether, you know, they're getting the whole truth and nothing but the truth, or they're getting just you know, something that maybe is telling somewhat of the truth and not really what's happening holistically with their SEO campaigns.
Yeah. And I would say a lot of times we're working with people that maybe sort of at the vice president level where they have, or, you know, on the marketing team, but they still don't have, they still have to sell the case to the CEO. And so I would say for those people, if you're in that situation, it really does come down to ROI, setting expectations carefully, talking about what's real. And, you know, sometimes I'll say, well, do you want to be there or not? At the end of the day, you know, especially for keywords that are central to your business, do you want to be there or not? Do you want somebody else to be there? Because there's a, that has value, right? If you're not showing up for your own niche, that's a problem for me. Because, you know, it's it's a question of people finding you online, looking for you, but doing their due diligence on you. And if you're not showing up for the key terms and your competitors are, that's not good. That's a real problem. What you spend on that, Grant?
Yeah, no, there's a couple of questions here, actually. And just to your point, within 2 weeks before a surgery, about 60% of folks actually search about their doctor and the surgery and other stuff. So it's interesting to understand that the people search in time, and if you don't show up, it's a challenge. So one of the questions we have is, what are the factors to be considered for a thorough competitor analysis? It's a great question. So the main thing first off is understanding who your competition are. So you have competition within your vertical that you know about, and then you have search competitors. So the first thing to look at is go into Google and type in a few of your key terms to see who turns up. So it might not be in a local basis. It might not be your local competition. It might not be the dentist across the road or the vein surgeon, you know, down across the city. It might be a national brand. So the first thing is competitor analysis, understand who competition is. Secondly, you see what they rank for, and does that align with your particular business? So you can do that by leveraging some tools like SEMrush or Ahrefs to give kind of competitor analysis, SimilarWeb, things like that, to understand what they're ranking for. And the next thing is, from a competitive analysis standpoint, is where are the gaps in the content that they have versus the content you have? Now, that's primarily what you're looking at as far as what you show up for and who shows up for the terms you want to show up for. There's other things like the link graph. There's other things like brand awareness. There's other things like, internal linking or efficiency or the performance of their site. Those are all kind of secondary and tertiary. I really look at the content first as being the key consideration of a competitor analysis. So really looking at who it is, what they're showing up for, what you're not showing up for that you should do based on that competition.
Very good. Another question is about the Google Business Profile. In the couple minutes we have available, would you like to touch on that?
Sure. Any suggestions on review of the Google Business Profile? It's the same thing in looking at the Google Business Profile. There is a breakdown of different elements that you're likely to see there. Everything from directions to photographs to posts, to the main category, to reviews. The ideal Google Business Profile, when it shows up in the search results, has all those. So to get all those in there, there are a few things you can do. If you go to the Google Business Profile, you go into your Google Business Profile, you'll see there are many different categories that you can jump through, everything from opening times, closing times, to upload photos. I suggest you fill out as much of that as is relevant. You then inspire your happy patients, happy customers, to give a review on Google and other platforms, because that's also a really important component of reputation and click-through rate from that Google Business Profile. Make sure your location is 100% correct, not just on your Google Business Profile, but across the web. And one of the major things within Google Business Profile is that category and subcategory. Just make sure that's really relevant to you. You can start to type in and it'll make suggestions. Try a lot before you decide, because Google is always adding new categories in there, but you want to make sure it adequately reflects the niche that you're in. because that's one of the major factors of whether you're going to show up and whether your profile is going to show up for generic search queries. That's probably Google Business Profile in a nutshell.
Very good. Well, hey, Grant, I tell you what, this has been fun as always working with you. Appreciate your content and flexibility. If you're interested in, our help, let us know. We are very proud of our team and our skills in this category. Looking forward to talking to you. Thanks, Grant. Again, our next webinar will be about branding, a completely different set of posts and content, but this has been fun. And thank you for some of the nice comments we're getting in the comments as well. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks very much. All right, take care. Cheers.